Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Syndicated news again. This evening we're going to have a tremendous learning experience with Sant'Angelo Importing. And I believe they're all arriving now. So we're not going to give them a second to enter in. Here we are. Welcome. Welcome to Syndicated News. Welcome to Syndicated News.
Hello?
Hello. Welcome to Syndicated News.
Thank you.
And
hi,
you are?
Ruth. Hi, how are you, Ruth? This is Paul Dominic.
Wonderful. Paul Dominic is with us. Who else is with us?
Lee Chermatori.
Wonderful. Lee Chermatori. Who else is with us?
Fred Gubitos.
Fred Gubitos. Excellent. Welcome, Fred. Who else is with us?
We're waiting on Ricardo, I would imagine.
There he is.
Good evening, everybody. Are you there?
Ah, yes, we're all here. Wonderful. Tonight we're going to have a wonderful learning experience. We're going to talk about and welcome Sant'Angelo Importing out of Pittston, isn't it, Pennsylvania? Now, they've been making great leaps and bounds since their foundation in 2005. And we're going to be looking at their projected activities for the rest of 2008 and 2009. So tonight we're going to have Sant'Angelo's executives, and we're going to talk about the brief history of their business background with an emphasis on their vision and their focus and their wonderful company distributing products imported from China throughout the continental U.S. and Latin America.
It's on the television line. It's on a radio line on us.
We can hear you. Okay, then. We're going to welcome Fred Gubitosi, CEO, Lee Chermatori, Chief Financial Officer, Paul Dominic, an independent CPA, Ricardo Alcaraz, Senior VP of International Marketing and the U.S. Hispanic Market. So we're going to have a little summary here. We're going to have, let's start with Fred Gubitosi. Why don't you give us a summary of what your vision is and where you're headed in today's market?
Okay, basically, we kind of got started into this opportunity through a gentleman that I had worked with in the past called Wayne Scott, and he works for a large company called Intermetro Industries, owned by Emerson Corporation, and currently they do quite a few, but I'd say 90% of their business is done in China. And I've been in touch with him. He's working there for 39 years, and I've been in touch with him off and on over those years. I was there 11 of those years, and he introduced me to some of his importing team, some of his sourcing teams. And as we had conversations back and forth, we found that there was an opportunity in this field of batteries. The situation presented itself. The problem was trying to come up with a name that would fit the industry, and it was very challenging. We were able to finally come up through our patent attorney with the name Permalife, which he took from two words, permanent and life, and it seems to have a nice flow to it. And then our artist, John Green, out of Arizona, was able to come up with the logos for us that kind of set it into a marketplace that looks and feels as it competes with an Energizer and a Duracell product. Couple that together with being able to source from battery factories in China that actually produce the Energizer, Duracell, Rayovac-type batteries, we were able to come up with a product that is actually produced in factories where they're produced through and put our jackets on the products that they have. So the quality and the standards of what is typically known in the United States as key and accepted is what our products do represent. And Well, once we did that, we had to get some testing done. So we went to STR Laboratories in Connecticut, which are world-renowned and known for testing batteries of hearing aids and a very delicate situation like that, to present our results. So I was able
to... We went to look at that, the backgrounds of that company, and apparently they're long-standing and they're very well-known.
Very well-known, yep. They're the benchmark of the industry as far as testing products. And once we sent batteries into them, along with ours, in the sizes which was the AA and the AAA, to test for, and the results came in that ours were comparable. In a lot of cases, a hair above, in some cases a hair below, but all within the benchmark of the industry, which would be acceptable. So basically, our products do come out of China, and they are distributed throughout the United States. And Ricardo will be responsible for the international marketplace, Central and South America. And along with the Permalife batteries, we also have... the light bulb line that we were able to trademark as well, and the flashlight and battery packages that go along with that product line as well. So it's
tell us about the light bulb. You have a light bulb line?
Yeah, the
product?
Light bulbs are the we have the regular incandescent, but the flow is going to be on the fluorescent, which is the curly type light. That is in 2012. In the United States, that is going to be the only bulb that's going to be allowed.
Correct. That's going to be the standard, isn't it?
Yes. And our bulbs, again, as we say, we with the batteries as Energizer and Duracell, the light bulbs are Energy Star rated, which our bulbs are made in the Philips plant. And Energy Star on a light bulb is no different than, let's say, the Good Housekeeping seal. On a product. It's the benchmark that what's on that package is exactly what you're getting. If it says it's 9,000 hours, you'll get 9,000 hours or in that range. So it's something that once that stamp is on there, it's more or less certified. So the products that we do and what we profess to have are the equivalent of the standard of what's accepted in the States from the major manufacturers.
That's excellent, and that's already been verified and certified, so it's not going to be a point that's going to be disputed. It's established, and that's wonderful to be able to say about your product, that it meets the standard. In fact, you actually meet the future standard, really, if you look at it.
You're a little ahead of the curve there because that's
going
to come down to where those light bulbs are going to be the only thing to be used.
And your light bulbs already meet that standard, the future standard.
Yes, they do.
That's a wonderful position to be in terms of industry. It's a wonderful position to hold.
Yes. Yeah, we kind of got lucky in so far as, again, the name was so key. We've been at some shows in the past just to show the product to see what people thought of it and so on. And many people thought that they have already saw it in the marketplace because the name seems to be friendly.
It is. It's very attractive, the Permalife, as a line of batteries. And what is the name of the light bulb?
Same. It's a Permalife light bulb.
Permalife. So it's going to be a Permalife line of products.
Yes, and we trademarked the light bulb with a coin that says One Bright Idea. That's what's on all the packaging for the light bulb.
Oh, that's darling. One Bright Idea.
Yep. So,
that's excellent.
Kind of proud of... what we have accomplished, what we've put together, and the marketing now, you know, across the country is starting to take place. We have a gentleman by the name of Hal Williams that's owner and operator of Consumer Product Management that's heading up a brokerage team. And we have a series of brokers that we're putting in place across the United States, probably headed by Advantage Sales and Marketing, one of the better-known brokerage houses across the country, and we also have countertop and floor displays that the batteries will be displayed in, and those displays are going to be made by Peachtree Packaging in Atlanta, Georgia, and this way when product is ordered, if they need it for a countertop or they need it for floor displays, it'll come in a knockdown situation that they could just buy them in the pallets, and then we can just display them in the stores, put them together, and display them in the stores. All the batteries will be loaded and preloaded into the cartons, and they just simply put them on the floor, and they're ready for sale.
That's lovely. And how soon will you be ready to deploy this? This sounds like you've done a lot of work.
Well, there was a lot that went into it in order to get everything to where it is today. It's monumental. But product will be in here by the end of August, first week September. And then they'll start to roll in approximately every 3 weeks thereafter. And as Ricardo starts to roll the international scene, we will be able to direct containers to South America as well, because once we start to get the roll out, we will be able to direct containers, whether they come into the United States, depending on what port they go into New York or into somewhere in Atlanta, or overseas. We'll start to direct the containers accordingly.
That's very exciting. That's much sooner than I had envisioned. I had no idea that you were ready this soon. This is wonderful. You're ready for the school year, aren't you?
Well, the school year and the Christmas season.
That is wonderful.
Batteries and the Christmas season are going to be big. That's the biggest spike of the quarter, the fourth quarter of the year. We should be in position to catch some of that as it comes in. But the rollout will start to take place, within the next 30 days or less.
I would say we have a typical family and a typical home, and I was just going around the house to see where exactly we, as a family, we use batteries. And I had to stop it, to 62. We stopped counting. Our clocks are run by batteries.
Yeah,
our computers, all of the nonsense that supports our computers. All there are so many gadgets and our air conditioners. We have remote controls for those. There's remote controls for the TV, for the DVD, for the music. And I was thinking, we stopped at 62, and then this morning we found four more. We forgot the one. There's batteries in the kitchen. We have some gadgets that run by battery there, too. There's an electric knife that's battery-operated. The bathroom, oh, my goodness, all the toothbrushes are now battery-operated. And we just stopped counting at that point, and I was thinking, this is a typical home, and there's only two people in this home. What about the other homes where they have four and five kids? And my gosh, they've got to have at least minimum of 100 batteries.
Yeah, well, we have a newborn. She's 6 months old. And we had some, toys brought, that we got for her, and they're loaded with batteries to make them, to jingle and dance and talk and whatever. And that's all it is AA, AAA batteries, pretty much. That's 90.
The mobile over the crib is carried. Isn't it that run by batteries?
Some are wind up, but some are battery. But there's just so, today it's there's so many different toys out there that probably 95% of them you need a battery for, and many more. I mean, I have them where you need 7 and 8 of them. It's not just one.
Yeah.
And everybody wants
chair.
To be. Yeah. Everybody wants to be no plugs today. Everybody wants to be mobile. That's just the way
exactly.
it is.
Exactly. Exactly. And where even that little chair where you feed the child and it swings, after they can take a nap afterwards. I was trying to work one with a baby at a friend's house, and I realized, I was thinking, oh, my goodness, we need four batteries. On the side, it said batteries, AA batteries. So we couldn't even get this baby rocking without batteries. And I was thinking, we've become very dependent on mobile energy, battery-operated, docket items. If you look at the counter, there's got to be 10 battery-operated units there.
Yeah, exactly. No question about it.
The bathroom, each bedroom, each desk. Any desk where you're running a computer, you're going to have battery operated. The MP3s, what do they take? Double A's, I think.
Double A's, yeah. And
oh my gosh.
The nice
kid
thing,
doesn't have an MP3 now.
Yeah, I know. You're true. That's true. And the nice thing about ours is, we will be priced competitive. We would be less than the Duracell and the Energizer, and priced right for the people, so that they're going to get the quality, and they'll get the life that they need at a far less price.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the interruption, Freddie,
yep.
But I think it would be very important for all listeners to know that this quality, I mean, this battery really matches or exceeds the top brand names in the market. And I
Correct.
Think we should be very, very insisting on that because it's an excellent quality product and one of the reasons why I was so enthusiastic getting involved in this interesting project that I think it should be very well said.
Yes, I agree. That's why I say with the STR laboratory verifying the results.
Right, it was compared to the most, not only the top brand, but the best batteries in the market, and it really is on the top line, which I think is one of the points that will make Permalife an excellent item for consumers, because as soon as they start testing it, they will realize that it's an excellent item at a fraction of the cost of a top brand battery.
Exactly.
The thing to recall is that not only is the quality checked out in the factory that in China that makes the battery, but prior to it being loaded in China to be delivered to the United States or other destinations, it's rechecked by an independent quality tester in China of the same caliber of STR. So there's a lot of quality control that goes into the battery to make sure that the high standard that we are requesting from the factory is consistent with all shipments, not just a couple.
And
dependence on our imagination, and we can't see each other. I have to ask that when each of you, it's wonderful that you're all contributing, but please identify yourselves. Say it's Fred here, or it's Lee here, so that we know who gave us this wonderful contribution. Who was that just spoke? Who said that?
That's me, Paul Domnick.
Paul, wonderful. Yes, Paul, excellent.
Thank you.
It's Lee Charmatori, Ruthie, and it's just, I mean, just to summarize what's been said so far, as Fred started out, we were able, thankfully, to have some excellent sourcing opportunities in China and actually nowhere to go to get the quality products done. And all that quality is verified both at the factory and then through independent U.S. labs to ensure that the quality is there. As Ricardo commented and Freddie and Paul did as well, we end up then with the capability of being able to bring in a quality product at a very, very competitive price at price points that distributors and brokers can really work with. And that's so key now because we've been development stage company up to this point in time and are really ready to launch on the sales side. Permalife is a patented trademark name. And as Freddie mentioned, it applies to the batteries, the flashlights, the light bulbs, so that gives us a unique opportunity in the marketplace. And as you mentioned, Ruthie, we were fortunate enough to get some very good packaging and artwork, and it's an attractive package as well. So we've got a great-looking package, a quality product, and a very, very competitive price. And just to add at this point, for those listeners who might be interested, in addition to being able, of course, to produce the Permalife products and to really look for partners to help get that product out into the marketplace, we can also at the same time do private labels. So if there's someone out there who, you know, really wants to promote their own label, we're able to get that produced in China as well. It would just take being able to get their artwork and their information onto the product.
That's excellent. So anyone who wants to run a private label version of these products can go right to Santangelo Imports, and your company will handle everything so they don't have to go piecemeal it and go from one step to the other. They can just come to you and say, I want a private label brand these products with my logo, with my material, and you can handle it?
Yep, and that all they would have to do is give us their artwork, and then we would take it from there.
That's excellent. Now, let's say a company in the United States, because I come across this all the time. I spend a lot of time on Skype talking to both companies in the U.S. and companies in China and Latin America, because Skype kind of unites us all. And we have forums and talk about global business, and they say to me, you know, I'm ready. I'm doing business here in the U.S. already. I would love to. I don't have a lawyer in China, and I don't have my attorney deals with real estate. My attorney deals with local business, and he set me up in my established regular business. But we've never done business where we've brought in product from China, and we don't know where to start, and we don't want to reinvent the wheel. Is there any place that we can go and just say, I want to bring in, shoes or buckles or blouses or hats or bicycles? We don't want to have to establish getting a Chinese attorney at that end. Oh, and by the way, I recommend to all of you that you lower the volume on the internet, otherwise you're going to have an echo like you're hearing in the background now. Anyway, what I was going to say was that they've asked, where can we obtain someone that would handle all of that for us? Can Santangelo do that? Since you've already established, I guess, a legal setting in China and the U.S., and you've got all of that infrastructure in place, would you be willing to help companies that just want you to do it and they just want to pay you a fee to handle that?
Setup? Lee Termatori again, Ruthie, and yes, we're, more important framework, all of which is there. We do have the sourcing people in China who know where to go regardless of what the product is, and many times people will just give us a drawing and or the sample of the product, and that's all we need. We can then take it from there, determine where the best plants are in China to produce that product at a very reasonable price. Generally, when we source, from two or three different areas or different manufacturing plants, and again, always with an eye towards quality and price. So really what we offer there for a fee, as you mentioned, would be somewhere to guide that particular customer as to where to go. We would handle it all. We would have the product manufactured. We could have the product shipped into the U.S. to any port that the customer wanted, and we would handle it from sourcing to manufacturing to shipping to delivery in the U.S. or even delivery overseas if that's where the product needed to go.
That's excellent. So then I'd like to ask Fred Gubitosi and Lee Termatori about your vision in today's market. Tell us about that. We're curious about that. Where do you think you're going in the next, say, 5 years?
Well, this is Fred Gubitosi speaking. Basically, I guess the intent here is to capture a place, our own position in the marketplace. One thing about batteries, you'll see you have the top three brands out there, and then basically from there, it kind of dwindles down to private label, going into a Wegmans or one of the other drugstore chains, Walgreens, whatever, that might have carry their own brand. But once you get into anything other than the major three, so to speak, it's that the market starts to the attraction, the pricing, and everything doesn't seem to be where it needs to be as far as the quality. We've tested probably 10 or 12 different batteries out there via private label on through to Energizer. And I'll tell you, once you get off the top couple of brands, they really have poor quality. You look at a lot of private labels that are out there, and a lot of people like their own name on something, but if you test the battery, it doesn't come up to standard. One thing I could tell you about our sourcing teams, and they're led by Wayne Scott, that's affiliated with us and is a partner with us. He is responsible and his people are responsible to keep the quality up in the factory. And one of the things that they do is the partners, in a lot of cases of the factories we source, are owners. They actually own percents of their factories. The top Chinese sorcerers like to be on boards of directors. They like to have an input. They have presence at the factories all the time. It's not something that you do today and then you walk away and 6 months later you assume that everything is still running. They're in there all the time. So we are able to ensure the quality along those lines because of the teams that we have that actually own the interest in the companies that we do. And then long term, basically to get out into the marketplace and to be able to capture our own segment of the business. And some of the feedback that we've been getting from the representation that we have out there is that batteries are a very staple product. It's something that's used every day. It does have its spikes throughout the year, but it's used every day. And in today's, you know, in today's market, it seems that, you know, if you can sustain the quality and get the confidence of the people, you're going to have a product that will make its own mark in its place. I come from a beverage background, basically, and I could tell you that a lot of people start out in the beverage industry, like the Snapple to this world and the Sobeys and so on, and what happens is that they build themselves up a market, and then all of a sudden they catch the eye of a Coke or a Pepsi, and the next thing you know, Snapple is owned by a Pepsi-Cola, and Sobeys owned by Coca-Cola, and so on and so forth, because they made a presence, they made a mark, they had something that was attractive and good. We're looking to that point to say we want to make our mark in the industry, and eventually, in time to come, maybe somebody would just want to take our product line on and purchase that product line from us, so that they have another quality line that's underneath the line that they currently have. Like Duracell, I believe, is owned and operates EverReady. You know, so Energizer, you know, there's other, you know, people out there that might want to say, look, either we want to take this product over. So the long-term run is that we would build the product line up and make enough presence out there in the States that catch the attention of some of the larger concerns and see if we can, you know, make an offer together between the two of us.
Ruthie, it's Lee Charmatori, and just to kind of echo what Freddie said, the business plan that we have, we're in the implementing stage now on the sales and marketing, and Freddie mentioned some of the people that we have contracts with now to help us do that, which of course is difficult. I mean, we're out there looking for distributors. We have brokers that have taken on the line who tell us there is room for in the marketplace a quality product at the price points that we offer it at. So we're encouraged by that, and we think we will be successful in obtaining some level of market share. At the same time, we know that, the elephants in the room, Freddie mentioned some of their names, the real strong market share leaders in the marketplace. We know from a market share standpoint that we would never, ever be able to catch them. But we feel that in the marketplace, there's room for a quality product at a reasonable price, which is why we trademarked and patent the name, so that all of the efforts that go into that are in essence protected by that patent and trademark, if you will. And we've also discussed long term that at some point, if we do our job well enough, and if we execute well enough, that perhaps some of those other parties may be interested in talking to us at some future point.
And I think that the price point that you're coming into the market, I think it's so competitive that there's always room for a good quality product that's going to come in at such a low price point. There's always room for that. And that's going to, you're going to revolutionize, I mean, the holidays. If you come in at that price point, no one's going to be able to compete with this product. It's going to be impossible.
We really see it that way. And again, the quality is verified by independent lab tests. The price points are verified by those who are in the market. And the price points have been tested. Our brokers that are out there tell us that the price points are very good, and that there is room. So we're encouraged by that. And again, not only for the batteries, but for the light bulbs, the flashlights, and the whole Permalife line. So we think we have an opportunity here to be successful. It's all in a matter of how we execute it. And at the same time, if we are successful, some of the proof down the road of that will come from perhaps some of the other key players in the marketplace. If we get onto their radar screen, perhaps them talking to us about taking a look at what we've done and perhaps even buying us out at some point.
Exactly. I say that any good product that is going to hit the market, if it does its job and it does its job well, and it really is a competitive product that's taking on the major players, that sometimes happens. A major player will say, this is a little too much competition here. I think we will move them along and move them onto our shelves and bring them into our family of products and not have to compete with them. That happens all the time, and that's a wonderful statement. If that happens to a product or a company or a service, that's a wonderful thing to say, that the market want to gobble them up rather than have to compete with them.
Yeah, that will be the real test as to whether or not we've done our job well.
Oh, that happens, and if they start chasing you right out of the ballpark, that's a wonderful thing. That's a great statement. That means that you are a quality product, because the consumers will know. They'll buy it, and if it doesn't keep their gadgets running for the expected time that Duracell or Eveready does, you'll know about it right away. And
well, furthermore, any of the buyers for the major chains in the U.S. won't buy the product without the testing results being verified. Whether or not it's Permalife or whether or not we're producing them for a private label, no buyer will buy without an assurance of quality. Of course, no buyer is going to buy without the right price. So,
and they're going to want it from a third-party independent source that's going to verify the quality and the standard. They're going to want it from a company like, what was it, STR?
Yeah. STR.
They're going to want it from an independent company that has that type of reputation.
Yes. Yes, and thankfully the factories that we work with are interested in quality as well, because they understand that the sell in the marketplace, especially the U.S. marketplace, that if you don't produce the quality, you're not going to get the sell.
You're not going to be there long. Yeah, I agree.
That's exactly correct.
So, my gosh, you are really identifying great opportunities here. I can't wait. I mean, the holidays are right up around the corner. School is right around the corner. That's a matter of weeks.
Yep.
That's going to be excellent.
This is Fred Govitos. Another thing, Ruthie, that we consider is in school projects, they have fundraisers. And one of the things is that we're going to look into is with our light bulbs. Being that one of the things that Walmart came out with, and I think it was Costco came out with a statement that they gave like $1 million worth of light bulbs away somewhere maybe almost a year ago. And what they said was that $1 million, if those light bulbs were used, I forget how much money it would save in green, in the economy today, like for fuel and whatnot. And,
certainly.
So the thing is with the kids, I know when I was in school, we sold light bulbs when I was in eighth grade. The regular light bulbs, it was something that was light. You were able to take it around as a kid. It's not a big, heavy package, and we were able to sell them. And the thing is it becomes a twofold operation when you can sell a bulb like that also is going to be, considered very environmental friendly and saving a lot of energy and a lot of money. So the kids out there kind of selling these, knowing that that's coming in, we're going to look into that segment of the business as well, because I think that's a great opportunity for kids to get out into the neighborhoods, and the people are going to find out as time goes on that you're going to need to change the bulbs in your house to these fluorescent type bulbs, and it'll be a good opportunity for the kids to do well and to do a good deed for the community. So that's another area that we're going to look into.
When is that standard expected? What did you say, 2012 or 2011?
Well, I think 2012 is going to be mandatory. The other ones will be eliminated. You cannot use one.
They'll be phased out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you were saying, Fred?
Paul, I think, wanted to say something.
Paul,
this is Paul Guti.
Yes.
One of the parts of this puzzle that's going to remain constant is the quality aspect of the battery and the light bulbs and all related products. And the reason quality is being stressed so much by the company in its development stage and now when it's launching its product is, you know, there was a perception at one time that General Motors was having lots of problems today. They were perceived not to have the quality from their Chevy line all the way up to the Cadillac. And the reality is that since the mid-90s, their quality has been very high, but the perception in the marketplace is their automobiles are not perceived to be as high quality as, let's say, the Japanese automobiles. Now, you know, that's a conception. It's not the reality. The cars themselves are of high quality. We don't want our battery to be misconstrued. We will continue to keep the high quality, whether or not we private label it or we have the Permalife name on it. And we're not going to have various standards in the battery. The batteries will all be at the high quality or higher as time goes by with improved technology. And that's the key to what we believe our potential success is linked to. High quality at a price that's very competitive in the marketplace.
Now we're talking at Blog Talk Radio, Syndicated News, with Santangelo Importing. Fred Kubitose, CEO. Lee Chiaramatori. Did I pronounce that correctly? Lee Chiaramatori, CFO, Chief Financial Officer. Paul Dominic, an independent certified, CPA.
Yes.
And Ricardo Alcaraz, Senior Vice President of International Marketing in the U.S. Hispanic Market. And did I leave anyone out?
No.
Excellent. We're all here.
We are all here.
Now, the next thing I wanted to talk about is, as I said, private labeling. If someone wants to private label, they can come to you. That's all set. You're established. Is that correct?
Yep.
Private label?
Yep, not a problem. We have our own art department that we use, John Green in Arizona. Very, very well-known graphic designer. And I've, again, I said I was in the liquids business, had my own water plant, and did a lot of private label bottled water products, and John did all the labels for me. So he's very creative. If somebody doesn't have their own label, John would only be too happy to design it. And should they, when you go with, I've been around the horn with these guys a lot of times before I settled on John. And a lot of times you get work, and you got 25% of what you like and 75% of what you don't like. And then by the time you get to where you want to be, it takes time. With John Green, I'm going to tell you that he's 90% in the ballpark once you get the first rendering. And then you might want to change a little detail here and there, but then he nails it right away. So the time is money today. And the time with him and to design and to do is very quick, and he's very receptive. So it's not like you give him something and 2 months later you'll see a drawing. You give him something today, and in 3 days from now you'll be on your screen. That's the way he works. So very, very good. We have very good people that we deal with, very good people that we are partners with. It took a little time, a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money to get to where we are, to be able to roll it out to where we are. And we're kind of proud of what we did at this point. And, you know, I think that as this thing starts to roll out across the country and people start to see it, they're going to appreciate, you know, all the effort that was put forth by all of us that got this job rolling and everything out to the public, you know.
And again, this is Blog Talk Radio, syndicated news. We're spending the evening with Santangelo Importing. And for those of you, get your pens out as usual. This is an informative program that need the information. That's Santangelo Importing. That's 1-570-602-6571. And their website, you can find it at www.santangeloimporting.com. That's www.santangeloimporting.com. And please don't think that I'm ignoring this other information. It's just that I need to announce the information, the contact info, so that the public can find you. That's so important, so that they don't have to go searching through the web.
Absolutely.
Now, we've got this development, strategic business alliances and partnerships with Chinese factory owners. Who's actually hooking that up? I mean, is that, Fred, are you going to China and establishing these ties?
Well, basically, again, I have to revert back to my Metro Wire days in Wayne Scott, that now is probably for the last 10 years has been dealing with China. And that's how I got involved, through him, and he visits China 3-4 times a year. But again, the teams that they have are based in the United States. The heads of them are normally based in the United States with people that they actually hire that live in China and actually go to the plants daily. So the monitoring is done by Wayne Scott here through the partners in the United States that branch then into the supervisors that are over in China that actually visit the plants on a daily basis. So everything
yes.
is monitored very closely. But myself, I was there, you know, I was there, but not Biscotti's the guy that's there, and he's our eyes and ears, and we'll be soon to hire our own Santangelo's own sourcing person that will be will be part of our team and set up an office in China. So we'll say
excellent.
We'll have an office in China, and we'll be able to base ourselves right out of Shanghai.
That's what I was going to ask you. Where? Shanghai. Excellent. So that's Wayne Scott. I see, Senior Vice President of Operations and a board member.
Yes.
Let's see now. He's Santangelo Asian Strategic Sourcing and Business Consulting Team. He's been with you seven years, it looks like?
Yes.
He's been in the business for 38 years.
38 years. I know him 38 years.
My word. So I see that you've got a fine complement of professionals.
Yes.
On this board.
Yeah, we've put together a great team, you know, to try to get, you know, a little bit of everybody involved so you can get well-rounded. We, as you can see, we have bankers involved there. You know, and you kind of need them. And Phil Spickard and myself are basically the beverage guys, and got involved in the battery operation. But once you know products and once you know distribution, you know, the product line that you bring in is, you know, it's kind of one leads to the other. The business knowledge and the sense of how to do business is the product, you know, point that you can learn, and as long as you have the talent to bring it and to do it. We've brought many items to the table through other business ventures. And so to do the batteries was a task, I'm going to tell you, because it wasn't easy. There's a lot of criteria to go into it, but then once you get it down, then it all kind of falls into a pattern as well.
Well, it's just that these are such well I mean, they're so terribly experienced, these gentlemen, that it's I can't go forward unless we bring them in and announce them and let people know who they are. Of course, it's Fred Kubitose, Chairman and CEO. He's had over 30 years' experience in the beverage industry. He's also the founder and president and CEO of Nature's Way Pure Water and CEO of Boulevard Beverage. Then we've got Phil Spicard, vice president of this company, 17 years in the beverage industry. Good friend of Fred Kubitose. They've been working together for a long time. We've got Frank Kubitose. He's president. 34 years of banking and finance industry. This is another one. 30-plus years experience in the business. Then we've got Lee Chiarmatori, CFO. Over 30 years experience, again, with banking and finance. That's another one. Of course, there's Wayne Scott, COO, Senior Vice President of Operations, and he's sourcing the Asian product over to the U.S. and Latin America for Santangelo. And there's Bill Leandri, another board member. And now we've got the Permalife products over at Consumer Product Management. We don't want to ignore them either because they're doing a great deal with this company, apparently, for a very long time. So we want to give them a good mention. We do. We don't want to ignore anyone that's been working with these projects because the synergies have all melted together and they're all going global. We have to say they're going global. Anyone want to add to that?
It sounds really great, that word. This is Ricardo.
Uh-huh.
I love that word because it's like positions ourselves on a very panoramic view of how many things can be done in today's world. And, well, one of the recognitions I have regarding Freddie and Lee that they are really 2 years or 3 years of steps ahead, well, regarding any other party that want to start doing business with China, especially because with the Olympic Games, China will be in everybody's mouth in these days, and
absolutely,
that is mainly an indication of that the amount of business will continue increasing with China. Especially, well, let me tell you a little bit about what I'm doing. I'm from Chile, and Chile is the first country that has a finalized trade agreement with China. And, well, we see a lot of opportunities. That's what, you know, I interrupted you because when I see global, I see plenty of opportunities. So I believe that Santangelo is in an excellent position to capitalize extraordinarily on that. And I would like to invite Paul Dominic to present the company in a way that listeners can understand what we're trying to do and the opportunities, you know, to make money with our company in this case.
Thank you, Ricardo. What I can bring out for the listeners, Ruthie, is that when the company got to the final stage of development, they needed to begin to, so to speak, launch the product and seek out distributors. And that's what we're still doing. We have a core source of distributors, but because of the anticipated growth over the next 2.5-3 years, we are still seeking out other venues for distribution. To give you a concrete example, we projected our first sales in 2008 to be for August of this year. And we projected net revenue of in excess of $650,000. We have received two orders from two different sources. One order is for $1,292,000, and the other order is for $1,438,000. These orders, half of the orders have been placed with the factories in China. So we see that when we estimated the sales for August and September, we estimated sales to be around 2.1 million, 600,000 in August and 1.5 million in September. The orders we have in hand are in excess of that, and today is August the 6th. We have in excess of $2.6 million. We think that we offer opportunities for people who can help us distribute these products that we have, because we are being accepted after only about a six-week period that we began the actual introduction of our product. It started towards the middle or the end of June. Okay, so I think there's a heck of an opportunity here for those people who would like to contact Sant'Angelo with respect to distribution. Obviously, people would like to know, well, what do you anticipate the sales to be for 08 and 09 and 010? Well, what we did is we went to our sourcing partners and distribution outlets, and they gave us what they thought would be the realistic rollout of the product in the marketplace. And
what
with Lee
think?
And Fred's help,
mm-hmm.
we came up with our pro formas. And our pro formas for 2008 indicated net revenue of $10 million over this five-month period of time, with a net profit after taxes of $2.7 million. And that took into consideration the bulk of the revenue coming from the line of batteries. So they make up approximately 90% of the revenue. There are other products that make up the difference. The point I'm going to make to you is that instead of using the rollout from our distributors with respect to what they thought they could sell, we cut that down from 112 containers of product to 42 containers of product in 08. We may have made a mistake, because so far we projected somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 containers, and we have orders now for 12, and it's only August the 8th.
Well, can we undo that, and is there a possibility to change that order and pump it back up?
Well, what we're going to do is revisit tomorrow. We have a meeting here in New Jersey. Lee and Freddie are coming here tomorrow, and we're going to work on revising our past numbers, because 2009, which I didn't get to yet, calls for revenue of $25 million with a profit around $7 million. We're going to have to review and revisit these numbers in light of what's happening. And we have not discussed one major distributor, and we're not at the point now that we have a distributor agreement, so we have to leave them unnamed. But they were in the battery business in 2003 and 9 with a major battery company, and for reasons that is, they dropped out of the business. It wasn't because they couldn't sell the product. There was another underlying problem. They are indicating that they might place an order this year after they do their due diligence with respect to quality of product in excess of 15 containers. 15 containers could be average, because it depends on the mix, be in excess of $3 million in sales. I want you to know they're not in my projections for this year, but we have to review this.
This is marvelous news. This is great news.
It's a phenomenal news, because they have, in New Jersey and New York and Washington, D.C. area, they have 3,000 outlets for this product. I would repeat that number, 3,000 outlets. Okay, now if you go to a supermarket, I'm not saying these are supermarkets, but typically in a supermarket, I was at a Pathmark today, and I never used to look at batteries. Now every time I go there to buy a bottle of soda, I look at the battery rack. And it's about 8 feet wide. This particular store had about 16 positions, point-of-sale positions. Every position had a modified version of that 8-foot display for batteries. They're everywhere. So, you know, as you have candy bars for children, I guess they now have batteries for us people, you know, our technical people who need them. As you pointed out earlier, you found the need for 62, and then you found four more to be 66. So I think that what we're going to find out is that we have underestimated in our pro formas the revenue and the related net income as a result of that. And the key here is we have entered into a agreement with some financial people out of New York City. They are opening up to us letters of credit so that the Chinese factories could get paid. The letters of credit were delivered to the Chinese for their inspection and approval, and they came back after some changes. They were finalized and approved. That source of income, that source of funding is important for us to arrive at these revenue and income projections. Having said that, the company is actively considering putting together a private placement offering to raise additional capital, because now the forecast is changing. So there are opportunities not only to join the company in the distribution level, but also in the ownership level. And that private placement offering will probably be put together over the next 30 days. It needs to be approved, and there's a lot of legal things, but we have gone down the road quite a ways on that, and we're probably in phases now. So there are other opportunities.
That's great news. That's great news.
It's good for everyone. The company is a is going to be growing, as the people would tell me once I was studying mathematics. This looks like an exponential growth instead of a arithmetic growth. So you're in the early stages. We are in the process of getting Pennsylvania to authorize additional shares to bring our total authorization to 2 million shares in anticipation that we're going to be sought out as an investment vehicle with a good return. So that's where we're looking ahead.
Now the conversation is getting very interesting to our audience. Tell us about that. They are considering you for this?
Yes, we are in the position right at this minute that part of our meeting tomorrow is to review what we've done so far with the private placement offering. We're anticipating it to be a $10 million raise at $10 a share. I don't think that's going to change. I think the compliance laws and regulations will be in place so that we comply with all blue sky laws, and we have to have the attorney review. So we're anticipating that this could be done maybe as early as the second week in September, but no later than the end of September, so that these opportunities will be available to the general public. And to your listening audience, whoever you contact, Santangelo, gentlemen and ladies, at the address and the websites that Ruthie has given out. I wish you would do that again, Ruthie, and give the information.
Absolutely. We'll be doing that several times this evening. That's very, very important. that people know where to reach you. Not just, I mean, now you're talking, you've changed the dynamic completely. This adds a totally new, interesting level to this conversation. We're talking about investment opportunities here as well. We're not just talking about importing batteries. We're talking about the opportunity to participate in that wonderful aspect of business, investment and return on investment. That's Santangelo Importing. Santangelo Importing. That's 1-570-602-6571 and their website, SantangeloImporting.com. Very, very important. Get your pencils out. SantangeloImporting.com. 570-602-6571. Who should they contact if they call up? Who should they speak with?
They can speak to Fred, of course, or mm-hmm. Lee, or myself. I'll be the third default, okay? But any one of the three of us, including Fred's brother, Fran, could have a dialogue and get the information, and certainly we're prepared to engage them in this opportunity so that we answer all their questions. The opportunity is real. And the thing I wanted to say earlier, which I didn't say because I was enjoying the dialogue that you and Lee were having and Fred, is that the products that we sell, mm-hmm. we've been focusing on batteries and light bulbs, but there are a myriad of other products that are getting high reception in the marketplace. One is the Bow Lounge chair. It's a very high-end Chase lounge that Fred has entered in a strategic partnership with the designer and architect of that chair. There also is what is called a Visi cooler, which has a great appeal. So I understand a major people putting out soft drinks like Pepsi, like Red Bull. They're looking at our containers to be another source of containers for their products. Okay, not necessarily replacing, but I'm using the word replace because that's what I'm hearing. I don't think anybody is overly optimistic and say you're going to replace what's out there. You're going to add to what's out there, but our quality and our design of this product allows the product that's being refrigerated to be cooled not only on the extremes, the ends, but also in the middle, which is one of the serious defects of the current cooling system. So I want people to think of our company as Lee mentioned before, we have the ability to source out places in China if someone wants to use our company to do that when they're developing products and get through the red tape, so to speak, and get to the right plant because, as the cliche is said, all things are not created equal, okay? Some plants are much better for different products, and you have to know where you're going, otherwise you waste a lot of money and time. I think Santangelo has invested well over $1 million in this process. So it would be essential to anybody that wanted to do that, who hasn't already done a lot of that work, they can save themselves a lot of money and, more importantly, time. And we would, our plants are of high quality, not because we got lucky, but because people like Scotty, who spent several years already doing this work for another firm, has shared his discoveries with us. So that's an important ingredient. We not only have batteries, and they are of high quality, and light bulbs of high quality, but we also have the source to make that quality come out, and it gets retested. And we have the coolers, and we have the other products that are being made. So
tell me about these coolers. Tell me about, I haven't heard a lot about these coolers. Give us some detail. I want to know.
I want Fred to tell you about the details because I'm
okay.
Because
if you put it on the table, then we want the details. We want to hear everything. We've got time, so let's talk about these coolers. I haven't heard much about the coolers.
Freddie, would you step in, please?
I will.
Okay, go ahead.
Basically, the coolers, they're called Visi coolers, and what they are countertop displays. And again, as I said, I'm from the beverage background, as well as Phil Spickard, my vice chairman. And what basically happens with a countertop cooler is when you're introducing a new product, the Cokes and the Pepsis and the Snapples, all the regular staple products are in large cold vaults, as they call them. And these coolers are, you know, that space is taken. And when you go into a store, you're not going to cut yourself into that particular segment of that cooler. It just doesn't happen. So you have to bring your product in a different fashion. Now, these mini coolers or Visi coolers, they're small. And the typical ones that started with this was Red Bull. And if you notice, you'd see a lot of Red Bull small little coolers sitting on
a
countertop.
Yes, I have.
And the new thing today is probably 90% of the beverages that are sold in these types of stores, convenience stores and so on, are sold cold. Most people don't go in there and buy a warm product. They go in there on the move. If they're getting gas or whatever they're getting, or buying a soda, whatever they're getting, they want it cold and they want it to go. So the ideal thing with these coolers, how they got so popular was, well, I can't get into this. I got a new product, and I can't get it into the cooler. But if I come up with this little one and I can get it near the register, and when people are checking out, it's kind of right in front of them, and it became very, very successful. Now a lot of the energy drinks are in these coolers, and a lot of the new vitamin waters and stuff that are coming out are in these coolers, and all of a sudden they caught on like wildfire. Well, we have the opportunity with some of the people that we have out there that happen to have relationships with the Red Bulls and the Pepsis and so on, and we were able to present our cooler. Now, the thing is when you look at our cooler versus what they're buying here in the United States, there's really probably two good coolers in the United States, which is Beverage Air is one of them, and I can't think of the other one. It'll come to me. But they're the two basic, these two coolers are the basic products that we have here. Once you get out of that that territory of those, and they're very expensive, the quality goes way down. And the coolers themselves, as far as price-wise, are out of sight. In the beverage business, there is not a lot of competition for point of sale. There's a couple people you can go to. Paul Flum Ideas is one that designs racks and stuff, and they just get high-end dollars. We were able to find a factory over there that puts these coolers together, and top of the line, again, a lot of the coolers over here, Crystal Cooler is one of them, which is a low-lining one that does not cool the product in the middle. It cools the product around the edges. And then the center bottles do not get cold. It's just because of the nature of the way the cold air is promoted through the cooler.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, you're not getting a uniform product. Our coolers come in for a fraction of the cost of what it would cost these guys to buy them in the States. And the quality is again, superb. We've done a big deal for function drinks that are just coming out. And they got the cooler, and they loved them. I mean, as a matter of fact, when they plugged them in, they didn't think they were working. They were so quiet, they thought that the cooler wasn't
really
out. Honest to God.
They didn't think they were working.
Right. But
wow.
Then as they, you know, they just, it's just, again, good factories, knowing where to go. And now we have a little niche there to where we're starting to show these, and when we start showing the prices we can sell them at, it just becomes it just becomes something that is very attractive, because you got to remember, they put these coolers in stores at no charge to the store. The stores do not buy coolers. They're usually co-opted between the distributor and the manufacturer, or just the manufacturer. So the store itself gets free coolers. So everyone that goes in there, you know, they can save half or two-thirds of the cost of what it would cost here it's a big advantage to them because they go through thousands and thousands of coolers.
Absolutely. I didn't mean to stray from our topic. It's just that you brought that up, and it seems so interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt at this time, but I think it would be very opportune for the board of directors of Sant'Angelo as well as for all listeners, because I have to say that regarding the batteries, samples are being sent to Santo Domingo, to Argentina, to Chile, which, again, I'm going to repeat that, is the first country that has a finalized trade agreement with China and Chinese products. And, well, it's a whole scenario. It's a very interesting conglomerate of circumstances that, as Paul mentioned, can be very beneficial for listeners, potential investors that might be interested in a real 21st century venture.
Yes, we're talking about the future. We're talking about what we're doing now, but Sant'Angelo is clearly, you've gone around the corner and you're really doing, you're bringing tomorrow to today, because all of these products are necessary. These are not products that you may or may not need. And we all need batteries. We use them constantly. We use them for everything constantly. So we need them. But to bring them in at this price point, this is extremely competitive. I can't wait to see it. I'm very excited about seeing what happens in the ad campaign. I mean, what is that? A bright idea?
Well, one of the things that interests me more, and I would say that is one of the areas that I have the most expertise, is in product launching. I believe we have been involved in previous ventures with Mr. Paul Dominic, and we founded a television station in New York City, and I think we did all our homework to be on a good stage. I did all presentations to major advertising agencies. So I think we know exactly how to start grassrooting this line of products and build a company from brick number one on the sense of marketing.
This is Paul Dominic again. The strategy, Ruthie, that I would like the listeners and yourself to share with you is that the idea of partnering up with others is a key ingredient for the Sant'Angelo growth model.
Mm-hmm.
It is key in the economic assumptions that are going to be used implemented in the business plan, which we will outline in the private placement offering. That strategic alliance, and unfortunately, I can't reveal the name of the company, but
it is a large company
in Newark, New Jersey, mm-hmm. who is probably next week going to partner up with us. And what I mean by that is not only are they going to buy the product and have it and distribute it to their 2,000 outlets in New York and New Jersey, but also the 1,000 in Washington, D.C., is that they have a habit of sponsoring events. And what they're considering saying and doing at the sponsoring event is, and I don't speak Spanish, but Ricardo could say it in Spanish. In English, it means the battery of the Spanish community. Permalize.
Say it, Ricardo. Say it for us.
La batería que usan los hispanos. Exactly that.
That recording
really
voice
excited.
Comes out.
I hope that the listeners feel my excitement because, you know, I'm a bookkeeper, and we're not supposed to get excited, but I'm excited.
I'm very interested in seeing how this company develops and it goes forward, because I love to see things build and grow. I love to see companies grow, and what you're doing, it's exciting in its own right, but that also you're taking advantage of the fact that Chile is the first Latin American country to sign and ratify. It's the first free trade agreement with China. It's the first Latin American country to have done that. So that in itself is monumental.
Well, it's, I think it's not only interesting, but it makes us feel and visualize the whole world simply like a big city. And, and you can visualize the number of opportunities that are there. And I think Sant'Angelo is, well, since they have been doing, you know, I was introduced to Sant'Angelo only 3 months, 2.5 months ago by Mr. Paul Dominic, but I believe that all their homeworks that they have been doing since the company's foundation, it fits exactly in my purposes and my interest, and I think everybody's interest. So I think we can do a very interesting kind of effort all together and bring this Permalife product to first the Hispanic community in the U.S. And as soon as that model fits with the community, of course, that exactly model will be implemented in the rest of the Latin American countries. And when you put all those countries together, well, it's something very big, considering an average of 10, 12, or 15 batteries per household.
It is that many. Batteries are used for everything all the time.
Well, you see, first of all, remote control, two at least on per household. Then, as you mentioned, the devices on the in the bathroom, all those brush teeth in these days, and then some clocks that run with batteries. So average of, let's say, 10 batteries per household, and then considering the number of households there, well, we are talking about a significant number of batteries.
Absolutely. And the opportunities are growing by the minute because you've already set up an infrastructure where you don't have to go build anything. You've already set it up. Any company can come to Sant'Angelo now and say, I want to bring in these shoes or these chairs. I want to bring them in by the million every 2 months. And you've already set it up. You're already in place. You already have the players in their positions. You don't have to start anew, and you don't have to start searching. You can just you can hit the ground running and make these things happen, it looks to me like.
They would search. Ruti, this is Paul Dominic again.
Their
companies who would seek Sant'Angelo out to effectively be their agent or representative to secure the various venues that are needed to bring the product out of China into the marketplace in other parts of the world is already set up. They would not have to invest the same amount of money that it would take to start from the bottom. And there's another thing that's very, very important here, and this sounds like an admiration society, but you see, Ricardo's reputation and his stature among the radio and television and advertising community has allowed us to get into areas in the Hispanic market that we would not have been able to penetrate so easily if we didn't have him on board. So with that in mind, anyone listening who needs to have a representation in China or needs to have somebody look at their product and see what's the best way to launch it, they would be well served to contact Sant'Angelo and get in touch with Fred and Scotty for the Chinese introductions and Ricardo for introductions in the Spanish market. This is this is such an advantage to somebody trying to break in doing business, and there's going to be a whole bunch of conversation regarding doing business in China as soon as these Olympic Games are underway, and certainly by the time they're ended, I could just imagine the people that will be contacting you to want to come on your program to kind of ferret out what's possible with China. And I think that Freddie.
And as far
and
as
Scotty,
I'm concerned, my participation when I have people come on the show that are representing companies that are looking to go to China and start working that aspect, that angle, because if you're doing business in any aspect and in any area, and you're not involved with trade with China, you better get on the ball, because that's the only future I see. That's,
you're right.
That's the only thing I see. I don't see any other player. We don't have a bigger trader than China. And if you want to get serious about business, you're going to have to trade with China. And I would be referring companies that are interested in a partner, especially an established partner. You're eliminating their having to go get an attorney in China. You're eliminating their having to get an international trade attorney here in the U.S. They don't even have to go and worry about possibly even setting it up and coming up with a prototype. You've established that aspect of the business as well.
That's very true. Again, this is Paul Dominic. That's very true. And the other part about it is that, you know, doing business with China or with any, I would think, country of the size and new nature of what the Chinese are doing, one has to take in consideration how the assets are deployed, utilization, and how do you get your money, how do you pay everything, and how do you get your money? These are all intricate questions that you will have to know how to do it. You know, the old thing I used to talk about a few years ago when people would ask me to consult with them, we had to define what a sale is to a sales company. And they all thought a sale was a sales order. Well, a sale is only a sale when it makes the whole circuit. When it goes to receivable and the receivable gets paid, then it's a sale. That's very, very critical in doing business in China, the getting paid aspect, both to the Chinese and to the foreign country that's asking the Chinese people to develop and build products for them worldwide. So we understand that. We have the, if you want to use the tired word, we have the model that works, okay? We're willing to expand it and tweak it and customize it, but we have the general outline how things would go. And we didn't do it ourselves. We're not that smart. We have lots of partners, lots of idea people, and that's all those people were put together by Fred Gubitos. And it's through his contacts we were able to come to this position.
That's excellent. And as we wrap up,
how many more minutes do we have, Ruti?
As we wrap up this show, we have 5 more minutes, and we're going to have a quiet rendition in the background while we talk, and we say goodnight and wrap it up of the Chinese national anthem. It's only appropriate. It's only appropriate. Because that's going to be the United States and Europe's new trade partner, and we've got to start recognizing that. And the sooner we recognize it, the easier and the faster we're going to set up our businesses and our revenue streams. That's extremely important. And I, for one, will absolutely be sending companies to Santangelo. That's Santangelo Importing. Santangeloimporting.com. And by phone, anyone who should want to invest, there's a good return on investment here. The number is 570-602-6571. That's Santangelo Importing. 570-602-6571. And gentlemen, we have 4 minutes. Let's enjoy them. Why don't you, everyone, take your turn and identify yourselves?
Well, I think I'm going to be the first one to, because, I'm not going to intervene anymore, but I think I'm very satisfied with how the program was. And I think the whole structure and infrastructure of Santangelo was presented and 100%, and I'm I'm so excited to continue working in this very, very exciting project. And, well, I'll give now my word to Paul.
Yes, Paul, wrap it up.
I want to thank you for the courtesies and the way you handled the host of this important program. Thank you again very much.
And who else would like to say good night?
Ruthie, it's Lee Charmatore. I'd like to say good night and to thank the listeners and to also thank you for just an excellent job. It was a great opportunity for us, and I personally enjoyed it, and I think we all enjoyed it.
Well, we've talked tonight about China, and we've talked about batteries. But when we do, you know, when that rollout takes place, I think we should do another show about the rollout, because this is going to be a new product that's going to be competing with two staples of Americana. I mean, we're talking about Duracell and Eveready. And this Permalife is going to compete in a big way. I think we should, you know, we should report on that rollout. I think we should be present. I would like to, I was thinking about it as we're doing the show. I'm going to report live from location at a rollout at a store that's got the Permalife. When Permalife hits the stores, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to talk to people, and yeah, we're gonna broadcast live from location.
I think that's a great idea.
We're gonna talk to the public, and we're gonna broadcast right from location. As I said, and I have to give them a good mention, Shadow Ops from San Jose, California. They were kind enough to donate all sorts of electronic equipment they've changed the quality of our sound with their generous donation. That's, of course, Shadow Ops in San Jose, California. And they've made it possible for us to be able to even go and broadcast on location. So I want to mention them. And again, as we close and we wrap it up, we've spent the evening with Santangelo Importing from Pittston. Is that Pittston? Is that correct?
Yes, Ruthie, it's Fred Gubitoff.
Pennsylvania, Pittston, yep. Pennsylvania. And that's 570-602-6571. That's 570-602-6571. That's Santangelo Importing. And anyone else need to say goodnight that we haven't heard from?
Fred Gubitoff here. I'm the last.
Yes, Fred, wrap it up for
I'm
us.
I'm the totem post here. But again, Ruthie, we appreciate it. You're exciting as well, and your program is super. I didn't expect that it would go so quickly. The hour and a half just seems to fly by. So
didn't we have a long conversation about an hour and a half is going to go by? And you're going to wonder where it went. And everyone said to me, "Oh no, that's more than enough time."
Yeah.
And actually, if we gave this another hour, we would have an entire hour filled with Santangelo information.
Yeah.
Easily.
Well, we're looking forward to the next invite.
Well, we've got 10 seconds. We're going to wrap it up. This has been Blog Talk Radio, Syndicated News. We've spent the evening with Santangelo Importing. That's good night. That's a wrap. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I'm hanging up everyone's phones now. Good night.